We asked kids from Kids Planet what the two most important things parents give their kids are. Here's what they said.
The two most important things parents can give their kids are a roof over their head and food and water.
The two most important things that parents give their kids are love and wisdom.
Love, respect to God and my dog.
Toys and love.
They give me food, shelter, my stuffies, and my bed.
The two important things are love and bones.
Well, they gave me a rooster.
Love and kindness.
Love, discipline, and my cat Meeple.
They take me to school. They get me school supplies.
I would say toys.
And they have to have patience and kindness.
Hugs and kisses.
Well, today we're beginning a brand new three-part series in parenthood, but before I get into that, I want to say thank you to so many of you who have switched over from Sunday over to Saturday to make room for one more. Thank you for doing that. We did have some comments last weekend, though, that weren't pleasant, so I'll just share them with you, because you need to understand some things are a little different on Saturday than they are on Sunday. One of the things that's different is traffic's a little harder to get into the facility on a Saturday afternoon than it is on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. It might take you 3 extra minutes to make it into the parking lot and to get out of the parking lot. And we're working with the sheriff's department to see if we can get a police officer to help us on our way out the door. But I timed it just a couple of weeks ago, and it takes a whopping 7 minutes to get off of the property. And so I wanted you to know about that. It's just a little harder because there's more traffic on Coors on Saturday than there is on Sunday morning. So just be patient and just realize, hey, Jesus suffered for you, right? So you can suffer a little bit. I'm going to use that every time I get a chance, you understand. The other comment that we got is that we ran out of donuts. So let me explain why we ran out of donuts. You people don't take one. That's why. And I watched you upstairs tonight, and I'm just going to say, you're two-fisted. That's what I want to say to you. So just take, listen, I don't want you to have a heart disease, all right? So just take one donut. Some of you were so sly, you put a napkin over your stack of donuts. Last week, we had a woman who opened her purse, put 3 donuts into her purse, and then took one more and headed out her merry little way. So we don't have enough donuts for you to eat 4, okay? Just want to give you a heads up on that as well. But thank you for making the switch. You ready for this? Last weekend, it was Daylight Savings Weekend, and we already refilled the seats that you gave up. Now, that's a yay God right there, I think. I mean, yay God for growing his church. And so thank you for going at a time that might not be as convenient. I promise you this, if you keep this up for the next year, you will never go back to church on Sunday morning ever again. Wasn't it nice not to have to deal with daylight savings time last weekend? Wasn't that wonderful? You could just sleep in, do whatever you wanted to do on Sunday, and your kids are having a blast in both our teenage ministry and our kids ministry. Exclusive things happening only on Saturday night. So I'm glad that you made the switch. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this message. Dear Heavenly Father, I love the church. And I know the church is not a building. The church is the people. And I love it when we make a call and we ask people to sacrifice just a small thing, and they respond so overwhelmingly. Lord, thank you for the 600 people who made the switch last week to move from Sunday over to Saturday. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, and Lord, that they would find this as a new habit of their life, and that they would even have the opportunity to invite people to come with them to Saturday night church, and those people would say yes to that request. Lord, as we get into this message today on parenting, I pray that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, that we would look at our parenting, but more than that, we would look at the relationships that we have, and we would invest in other people the way you always intended us to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are starting a new series today called Parenting 101. It's just going to be a quick little series, just 3 weeks long. And these principles that we're going to give, we're going to look at them through the filter of parenting, but they are relationship principles. They're relationship principles that will work with your marriage if you just use the filter of marriage through them. They'll work through friendships as well. So I hope that you'll come every single week and invite some people to come with you as well. There was a little boy, and he was flunking math in public school. Well, the parents panicked, and they said, you know what, we're pulling this kid out of public school, going to put him in a Catholic private school down the road. Maybe he'll take his math a little more seriously. Well, sure enough, little boy comes home from the first day of Catholic private school. He goes right up to his room, doesn't play, doesn't get a snack. He just starts working on his math feverishly. Does that for a couple of hours, comes down, eats some supper. Then he goes back up to his room and continues to study till it's time to go to bed. He does this night after night after night. Well, finally, it's time for the semester report card. So the parents slowly open it up to see what the child's grades are, and they are astonished to see that the young man has got an A in math. Well, the dad was kind of curious, so he pulls the son aside. He says, son, what was it, the teacher that made the difference for you? Little guy said, no. He said, was it the peer mentoring that did it for you? Little guy said, no. He said, what was it, the tutoring that we put you in that did this for you and got that A? He said, no. Dad said, well, what was it, son? Little boy said, the first day I walked into that school, they had a man nailed on a plus sign, so I just knew they meant business about math. Only a child could come up with something like that, right? So we're going to talk about parenting. Let me give you my first principle to parenting. I hope this will help you out. Don't take all the credit when your child does something right, and don't take all the blame when they do something wrong. If you could just live that one thing out, you probably wouldn't carry around for many of us the load of guilt and shame and regret that so many parents have. You take all the responsibility for the wrongs that they've done, and for some of us, you've taken a little bit too much credit for the good things they've done. Make no mistake about it, there will be times your kids will do some pretty astounding things, right? They'll say the right thing at the right time. They'll have an act of compassion towards someone else. They will do exactly what they're supposed to do in a situation. It will blow you away. And as a parent, you have the opportunity to puff up your chest and go, yeah, that's my kid right there. I must be doing something good in my parenting. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give credit to yourself. Give credit to God. Give credit to that child. Because let me tell you something about kids. They're going to humble you. That little sinner is going to humble you. There will be times they will look you in the eye and they will lie to your face. There will be times they'll become so self-absorbed that they think the whole world revolves around them. And all you want to do is revolve their head off their body. You understand what I'm saying? Don't take all the credit when they're doing great. Give the credit to God. Give the credit to the child. And don't take all the blame when they're doing poorly. What's the role of a parent? Seek God. Train up your child in the ways and teachings of the Lord. Pray for your child. Have spiritual conversations with your child. Lead your child. Guide your child. But understand this, your child chooses their own path. And they make their own decisions, and they make their own choices, and their choices will determine where they end up with their life. You think your kids are a reflection of you. They are not. They are a reflection of themselves, of the choices that they have made along the way. So let's talk about some parenting principles. Now, I always get nervous when I do a parenting series because I am not a perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination. I do not have perfect kids. If you've met my kids, you know that they're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I do have a perfect God and a perfect wife, okay? So I'll make sure. If you see my wife, make sure you tell her I said that, would you? That would help me out an awful lot. So what we're going to look at is some relationship principles. And if we do these things well as parents, looking at it through the filter as a parent, then I think we can walk away and say we did our very best. We gave our very best to our kids to give them the best start that they could possibly ever have. I was scared to death when I became a parent. And the reason I was scared to death when I became a parent is I was scared that the words that I heard come out of my dad's mouth would come out of my mouth someday. You know what I'm talking about? Like, my dad would say some of the craziest things to me from time to time, and I didn't want to repeat some of the crazy things that he said. Like, from time to time, he'd say, "Do you want a spanking?" And now think about that question for just a second. Do you want a spanking? I always wanted to say, you know, it's been a while since I've had a whooping, to be honest with you. If you could put one right here on this cheek, I think that'd be wonderful. I never said that. I never, ever said that to my dad. Or my favorite one that my dad would threaten me with from time to time is he'd say, "Don't make me come in there." Yeah, I knew he wasn't coming. Because once my dad sat on a recliner, he was out for the rest of the night. There was, house could be burning down. He's going to go down with the house, I'll tell you that right now. I don't have it all figured out, but if you do these three things we're talking about today, you'll be a great parent. First one is this: give your kids time. Time. Everybody needs time. Think about that relationally. Your spouse needs time. Person you're dating right now, they need time, massive amounts of time. Here's the problem for you, and here's the problem for me. We don't have enough time. There has been study after study that has shown that if we try to accomplish everything that we need to accomplish on any given day, we don't have the time to accomplish it. And so that's why many times you come here and you say, well, we need to give more time. And you're like, I would love to give more time, but the demands of the job, the demands of this, the demands of that is so much that I only have a small amount of time to give. There was a book that I read years ago by Andy Stanley called Choosing to Cheat. And here was the premise of the book, is that you and I don't have the time. Not the time necessary to make our kids feel as loved as they want to feel, right? We have places to go and people to see and things to do. That's just the reality we're at. So the premise of the book is this: you don't have the time. So someone or something is going to be cheated along the way. And so you get to choose what it is that you're going to cheat. And you would do that based upon your priorities. Now, in the book, he gives an illustration. It's an illustration. Let's just say your best friend comes over to you, and they want you to hold this rock for them. So they come over to you, and they say, "Man, would you hold this rock for me? And could you stand in this exact place when you're holding this rock? It would mean the world to me if you would do it." Well, it seems like a strange request. I mean, you've never heard him ever ask you to do something crazy before, but you trust him, and if he needs you to hold that rock and stand in that one spot, then that's what you'll do. He says, "Listen, I got some errands to run. I got places to go, people to see, but when I get back, I'll take care of that rock, okay?" You say, "Okay, but this one's kind of heavy, to be honest with you. If you could hurry back, that would be great. Hey, I'll be back as soon as I possibly can." So you stand there in that spot, and an hour goes by, and your shoulders are starting to ache a little bit, and your neck is starting to get a little bit of a crook in it, and you're kind of wondering, when's this guy going to come back again? He said he wouldn't be that long. A second hour goes by. Now you're perspiring. Now your arms are shaking a little bit, and your friend pulls up. He says, "Oh man, thanks so much for holding on to the rock." He says, "Yeah, well, it's yours now." No, I can't take it just yet. I still have a few more things that I have to do, but if you could continue to hold on to the rock, that would mean the world to me. Can you do it?" "Yeah, I think I can." "Will you do it for me?" "Yeah, I'll gut it out for you." And they drive away to do whatever it is that they're going to do, leaving you again holding the rock. Another hour goes by. The sun begins to set. People are looking out their windows at you across the way, wondering why you've been standing there for the last 3 hours. 30 more minutes goes by. You don't think you can hold this thing anymore when all of a sudden a person pulls up, someone you've never met before in your entire life, and they get out of the car and they say, "Listen, your friend just wanted you to know he'll be here as soon as possible. He was delayed, but I'm telling you, he's going to come back, and he's going to get that rock from you. If you could just hang on for a few more minutes," and you're so tired, and your back hurts so bad, and you're so sick of standing there with the rock, you say, "Well, tell him to hurry up." Now it's dark outside. Everybody's lights are on. And they're staring out their window at you because you look like a weirdo. Because you're still standing there holding on to the stupid rock. You've been doing it now for 5.5 hours. You can't feel your feet. You begin to shake uncontrollably. You've given it everything you've got, and eventually you lose strength. And the rock falls out of your hands and shatters into a million pieces. 30 seconds goes by, and your friend shows up. And he gets out of the car, and he goes, "Well, what happened? Why is it that you couldn't hang on to the rock for just a little bit more? I hurried back as quickly as I could." And you look at this person so frustrated because you knew that what he asked of you was too much. And that this dropping of the rock was a long time coming. Now, at the risk of insulting your intelligence, let me explain to you this little parable, okay? When you're not there for your kids, you leave your kids holding the rock. When you ask your spouse to be chronically present while you are chronically absent, you leave your spouse holding the rock. And it's just a matter of time before it just crumbles into 1,000 pieces. You don't have enough time to get it all done. I don't have enough time to get it all done. So we have to decide, who is it that we're going to cheat? Who is it that's going to get the best use of our time, and who's going to get a little bit less of that time? Look at what the Bible says here, Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us, not something that comes naturally to us, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What's God saying? God's saying the days go by quick, don't they? How many times you get in bed and you say, "Hey, I can't even know where the time went." And before you know it, another week is gone. Before you know it, another month is gone. Then before you know it, another year is gone. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God, don't let me waste my life on lesser pursuits. Things that don't matter, things that don't count. Look at Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful how you live. Because why? You get one shot at life. Don't live as unwise, but live as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Satan can't make you bad. He'll make you busy. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So here's your homework assignment if you choose to accept it. I want you to go home, get on your computer or get on your smartphone, and I want you to look up the pictures of your kids from 5 years ago, and if they're older, from 5 years before and 5 years before and 5 years before until today. Now, I did this. Let me show you the pictures that I came up with. There's Mackenzie, my oldest, and Hannah. She looks like a Muppet, doesn't she, to be honest with you? Like a little ventriloquist puppet, that little kid, I tell you what. It's just a cute, cute picture. That's when we were at LBJ Middle School, setting up and tearing down as a portable church. This nice lady took that picture of my kids. Now, here's 5 years later. So now we have added Cammie. She wasn't there before. Let's go 5 more years. That's them in a little hot tub, and that exemplifies each of their personalities. I can tell you that right now. Let me go to the next picture. That's just, go back one. Go forward one. Go back one. Go forward one. That's 5 years. Let's go one more up, 5 more years later. Now they're all married. And the oldest has 2 kids and found out about a month ago, pregnant with number 3. So so I hope she's watching this series. I'll tell you that right now. Because she's cranking them out, I'll tell you that. Hannah got married just a few months ago, and so now I'm an empty nester. Another empty nester right there. Like, praise God for you, Todd. Still got my four kids living in my house, I'll tell you what. Tired of making peanut butter and jelly, I'll tell you that right now. I have a whole wing of my house that's empty. Used to be life and laughter, and it's gone. And we sit there and we say, where did the time go? Time is flying by, and if you don't take control of your time, you're going to wake up one day and realize it's all passed you by. So you have to learn to say yes to what is best and no to what is good, because that's where you live. It's not between what's good and what's bad. It's between what's best and what's good. I decided a long, long time ago that my kids were going to get the very best from me. This is a fairly large church, and it has multiple campuses, multiple locations, and multiple countries. There's a lot that's going on, and there's a lot of people that want my time, want my attention, want me to go to this meeting, want me to go to that meeting. You know what I've done for the last 25 years is I've said no. I've said no again and again and again and again and again. See, you would think, yeah, I'm not even done yet. You would think that I wouldn't have been there for my kids' sports, and you'd be wrong. You would have think that I would have missed some of their birthdays. I didn't miss a single one. You would have thought that I would have been doing God's work while ignoring the primary work that He gave me in being a dad, and you would be wrong. I kept my eyes on the prize. I enjoyed almost every moment with those three kids. Going to a meeting is a good thing. I'm not discounting your meeting that you want me to come to, but being with my family is the better thing. Going to an event and speaking at the event, and I get opportunities all the time to speak at events. Going to an event and speaking at your event, it's a good thing. Getting the chance to hear my daughter when she was in the fifth grade give a speech so she could become class president was a great thing. You see, you got to weigh between what's good and what is best. Because for me, I refuse to get to the end of my life and look at my children and look at my wife and say that the people that I love the most got the least from me. Last time I checked, I'm the only one who's the dad to those three girls. And I'm the only husband my wife has. I better be the only one in that situation. You can replace me tomorrow in this job, but I'll always be their dad. And I'll always be her husband. And if God takes me home early, I will still only be her husband. How do we number our days? Let me give you a few insights. It might help you out. Schedule time with your family. When my kids lived at home, we ate dinner every night together. You say, how in the world is that possible? Well, I blocked out that time to be with my family. People would say, would you come to this? Would you come to that? I say, no, I already have an appointment. And I did. I had an appointment. I was going to have dinner with four girls. And when I had dinner with my four girls, which was every single night, this was like a reality TV show right there in front of my very eyes. And I'm not a fan of reality TV, but I wouldn't miss one of those dinners. I mean, I just keep my head down, keep eating, just keep my listening. That's what I would do. Say, you would think my four girls would have run out of things to say. They have not. They just continue on stronger than ever before. Let me ask you this. How many people do you know that can say they're having dinner with four beautiful girls every night? Yeah, that's how God blessed me. Let me give you this one. Turn the TV off and the cell phones off. You ought to collect them when they come home from school. Not let them see them again. That cell phone's killing these kids. Social media is killing these kids. And they're living in a fantasy world, and they're Self-esteem is wrapped up in their likes and their follows and their shares, and it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous. It's a mental health crisis in our country, and parents need to step up and do something about it. Say, family time is not everybody sitting in the front room streaming a show while everybody's on their phone. That's not family time. Why don't you pull out a board game? Why don't you play a little PlayStation 5 or Nintendo Switch with your kids? Beat them down in some Super Mario Brawl, right? Do that. Kick them in the face a few times in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? Have some fun with your kids. Interact with your kids. One of the things that we did many, many times, hundreds of times we've done this, is called a family game night. In the family game nights where we all just get together, and I've set up all these different games. Sometimes it'll be charade, sometimes it'll be Pictionary, sometimes it'll be Name That Tune. We'll just play all night long, 2-3 hours, and there's prizes involved, and we have a blast, have an absolute blast. Sometimes it ends up in a fight. I won't argue with that. Sometimes, because my kids are poor sports and my wife's a cheater. Other than that, there's no reason for it. Sometimes my wife would do the kids' hair or nails, and I'm sitting there in the front room, and they're just chatting away. Most dads would retreat, go to the garage, go someplace else. I stayed right there. Why? Because I wanted to hear the heart of my daughter as she was opening it up to her mom. I wanted to hear what mom was saying to my kid. I wanted to be a part of their life, even some of the girly things that they would do. Let me give you another one. Go on a date with your kids. I wish I would have done this more. Every child needs individual time, individual attention. So go on a date with kids. Moms, if you have a son, you should teach your son how to date. He needs to learn how to treat a woman properly. He doesn't know. And so you teach him to open the door for you. You teach him to pull out the chair. You teach him to pay the check. I am shocked at this generation today of young men who say, well, we'll just split it, or she can. Where did chivalry go, man? She's a princess of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Treat her as such, would you? So moms, teach your son how to date a girl so he doesn't make stupid decisions. So that's the best date any girl would ever get to have. And dads, date your daughters. Open the door for them. Take them to a nice meal. Sit down, talk to them, and be engaged and engrossed in the conversation. Be the best date your kid will ever have. Do you think any of those kids, young men that my daughters married, was a better date than me? Well, they might say so, but I don't believe it for a second. I was an incredible date. Take your kids to concerts and ball games. Make memories. They don't need more stuff. They need more time with you. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but take them to Chuck E. Cheese. You've been to Chuck E. Cheese? It's not good. It's not good. One year, I say, okay, Cammie, it's your turn to go on the date. So where do you want to go? And she says, Chuck E. Cheese's. And I said, I'll take you anywhere. I'll take you to Europe right now if we don't have to go to Chuck E. Cheese. She wasn't interested in Europe. I don't know what was the deal. So we went to Chuck E. Cheese's, and I ate the pizza. And I'm pretty sure they found the pizza in the dumpster from the last family that had come out and just said, we don't want this pizza. Throw it in the dumpster. And they just recycled the pizza over and over again. It's terrible. It's terrible, terrible. Overpriced food. I spent $35 on tokens. Have you ever done this? $35 on tokens so we can get tickets that are coming out of the machine. I've got all these tickets everywhere. Then you go over to this counter and you exchange, you redeem your tickets. We got big sunglasses, bunny ears, and vampire teeth. That's what we got. $35, biggest ripoff ever, I'll tell you that right now. I also got a memory with Cammie that I'll never forget. Are you spending time? Focus time with your kids. Just because you're in the same house at the same time doesn't mean you're spending time with them. Let me give you another one, encouragement. Everybody should memorize this verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Our job as parents is to create an atmosphere where there is no put downs, there is no sarcasm, because kids don't understand sarcasm. You knew that, right? You think it's cute to get them all riled up, but the Bible says don't exasperate your children. So our environment is supposed to be a place where there's no yelling, There's no profanity. There's no sarcasm. There's no put downs. Because you want your home to be a safe haven. They get enough of those things at their school. It should be a place where they're built up. It should be a place where they're encouraged. A place that they look forward to coming to because that's where they get their love tank filled up once again. My dad was a great dad, and he always told me how much he loved me. In fact, I can't think of a single time we ever had an encounter that the encounter didn't end with, "I love you, son." I mean, he'd say it to me over and over and over again. So when my dad passed away in 2009, I never doubted his love for me, not for a single second. But one of the things that my dad wouldn't say very often to me is he wouldn't say, "I'm proud of you." He'd say, "I love you," and well, I appreciated that. But as a young man who was driven and trying to succeed, to have heard my dad say, "I'm proud of you, son," I think I could have heard that every day of my life and it never would have grown old to me. I guess my question is, are you saying words that bring life into your kids or are you bringing words that bring death? Because Proverbs 18:21 says that your tongue and my tongue has the power of life and of death. Our tongues have the power to absolutely destroy someone. You ever called your child a name? You ever told them they're stupid? That they're an idiot? That you're sick and tired of them? That they'll never amount to anything? You are inflicting wounds upon your kids that they will never overcome. And once those words are out of your mouth, you cannot retrieve those words. So you need to pray the same prayer I pray all the time. Well, God, set a guard over my mouth. Set a guard over my mouth, and I might not sin against you, and I might not sin against anybody else. Let me give you some phrases you should say to your kids all the time. I love you. Who doesn't want to hear that? I'm proud of you. I forgive you. I believe in you. God has a great plan for your life. And I get a front row seat to seeing you do some incredible things for the Lord. I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'll always be in your corner, no matter what. Because my love for you is not based upon performance. How about this one? You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Proverbs 3:27 says, don't withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to act. One more thing, bonus, your kids need affection. You keep hugging them, keep giving them kisses. Say, my kids are older now, they're teenagers or 20-somethings and they don't really want that. I don't care. Grab a hold of that kid and you hug them. Give them a kiss on the forehead. A daughter needs to know that her dad loves her. And she needs a hug from her dad and a kiss from her dad. It brings about security to that girl. And one of the things you don't want to have happen is you don't want to send an insecure girl out into this world today because she'll be devoured. So you want to make certain that she has a security of your love, that you're always in her corner and that you believe in her. So you hug her and you kiss her. And let me tell you something, dads, your sons need the same thing. They need a hug. They need a kiss on the forehead or a kiss on the cheek. They need to know that you're there for them, that you love them, that you care deeply about them. I know they're like, I know. So I used to do that to my dad. He'd just squeeze me harder. That's what he would do. I needed it. And I'd give anything to get a hug from my dad again. Michael Reagan gave a speech years ago about his relationship with his dad, President Ronald Reagan. Talked about growing up with a dad who was very warm, very affirming, always said that he loved his son. He said, but his dad wasn't very affectionate. In fact, he couldn't remember the last time that his dad had given him a hug. So now he's grown up, he's moved out of the house, he comes over to visit with his dad, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to break down this barrier. So Michael took the initiative, and he walked over to President Ronald Reagan on his way out the door to say goodbye. And his dad wasn't expecting it because his dad never gave out hugs, but he just kind of grabbed his dad and put his arms around his waist. And President Reagan at first kind of backed up a little bit, and then he reached around his son, and they held on for the longest time. He said from that day forward, every time he left, his dad would get up to give him a hug. In fact, when he said, I guess I'm going to go, President Reagan would get up and put his arms out to his son to get that hug. Michael spoke these touching words at his father's funeral. He said, at the early onset of Alzheimer's disease, my father and I would tell each other we loved each other and we would give each other a hug. As the years went by and he could no longer verbalize my name, he recognized me as the man who hugged him. So when I'd walk into the house, he'd be there in his chair opening up his arms for that hug hello and the hug goodbye. It was a blessing truly brought on by God. These are the three things your kids need. These are the three things any relationship needs. Focus, time, unbelievable amounts of encouragement, and affection. And if you get these three things right, you'll raise secure kids. If you honor God and you lead, and we'll talk about leading your kids to be spiritual champions in a week of this, but if you do those three things, they'll grow up in a very loving and secure environment, and it will make a difference for the rest of their life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be parents like this. Parents who care deeply, deeply about their own kids, who will spend the time necessary to invest in them. Lord, help us to be encouragers, to be affectionate, to lean in, to be there, especially when everybody else walks away. Help us to be the people, the parents, the friends, the spouses that you've called us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.